Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The two words that actually matter. This is Wretched Radio. As we hear a progressive culture redefine what used to be understood as something, you know, sinful, outside of societal norms, we used to be able to say, hey, that evil behavior is not acceptable. So what have progressives done? They have engaged in a word game, coming up with fancy terms so that they somehow are identified as being acceptable because, well, the words are so innocuous. Polycule was one of those words where it's up to like 20 people all getting together and calling it something that is really liberating. It's very freeing, mostly led by women, by the way. They are desiring to not be underneath, you know, the authority of those males. And so they lead their husbands into these relationships where it is just nothing but a sexual free-for-all. They call it a polycule, and then the New York Times Magazine can pick it up and publish a story on it to normalize it. Well, Jimmy, I think there are two words that must be repeated regularly in these conversations.
What's that?
Says who? Mm-hmm. Because that's what this is about. Says who? Because I can take something, a word, a concept, an action, and I can come up with a new way of saying it. For instance, Jimmy, I worked really hard on this.
Okay.
During the break. Stealing? No, and it's not stealing, silly rabbit. It's product redistribution. That's what it is when I take something from a store. A car accident. Well, that's so running into somebody with your automobile, that isn't criminal. That's not a car accident. That's auto repair economic enhancement.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been working on that. If you want to hit somebody in the face, it's just facial reorganization. That's all. Arson, it's just land clearing. Porn, it's adult entertainment. Oh, wait, they already use that phrase. We must introduce two words to these concepts. Says who? Why is arson bad? Says who? Why is porn bad? Says who? You can call a polycule whatever you want. You can call an orgy a sex cult, any fancy, rather seemingly innocuous term that you can concoct, but it's still a moral issue. And the bedrock question inevitably is, who decides if that is a good thing or a bad thing? And this is where Christians, I think we can actually begin participating in revealing what much of this is. Truly, it should not be snarky. It's very easy to do that, especially if you're a talk show host, to condescend and write articles that demean these people. Well, that's not the intention, but let's call a spade a spade. Let's label sin sin. And the only way we can do that is with authority. Says who? We used to have something that we called natural law, natural religion, where we all basically understood through observation, hey, this is right, that's wrong. Don't know if you heard the conversation, by the way. This is fascinating. We're going to probably tackle some of this next week. I didn't listen to the whole shebang. It was Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson. And they were talking about religion, God, UFOs, good and evil. And Tucker Carlson said something that is historically accurate, but no longer relevant. And that is common sense. That is, we all used to just plain understand these things. They were gettable. And now everything gets redefined, reimagined. And if you introduce any semblance of the divine, which everybody used to, every society gets it, There's something bigger than us. We're doing away with that. And it's being done on purpose to wreak havoc. Jimmy, what's the Amos Raber?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, this would seem to be appropriate right now, if you don't mind me saying so. This is kind of a country guy.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Right. Now, we all know God, but nevertheless, this tune makes a point.
Let me get straight to the point. The world has gone mad, and common sense is, turn a phrase, dead, buried, and cremated.
When I woke up this morning, it was all over the news. It seems a friend of ours is gone, with no one left to fill his shoes. Those that knew him loved him, but it's all about to change.
Good.
It might sound strange to you, but common sense was his name.
I miss him. Miss him a lot.
There's no one else to do the job like my friend Common could. Well, I guess you don't know what you've got till it's left the world for good. It's getting pretty obvious we're all feeling the strain. Someone else has got the job and nonsense is...
Nonsense has replaced common sense. Let me take you to another article and another word. This is from CNN. It is apparently Lesbian Visibility Week, first observed in, oh, what a shocker, California in 1990. This is from CNN. Please note the disclaimer. This doesn't necessarily reflect the beliefs of CNN. Yeah, right. The New King James Version of the verse proclaims, quoting Leviticus 18:22, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Quote from the article. It says nothing about women sleeping with women. I'd like to think that God liked lesbians. However, the truth is most likely that lesbian invisibility has been compounded by the long history of misogyny and the absence of women from the seat of power. We were thrice rendered irrelevant. In other words, God ghosted lesbians, didn't address them in Leviticus. I got built a fish, Larry. The article continues. Listen to the brazenness. In spite of the challenges we faced, we celebrate our fabulous lesbian selves. By the way, she cites in here that lesbians earn about 9% more than average. You know, being oppressed and all. We inhabit, in my view, the best parts of femininity and masculinity. There should be a yellow flag on that statement because there is none of that anymore. It feels like a tremendous gift I've been bestowed to be a lesbian. Well, that's taking something that was once esteemed to be unnatural. Hence the term natural law. It was just unnatural. It made sense. Look at the animals. Look at procreation. Look at body parts. Look at how babies are made. It's very obvious how it's supposed to work. That was called common sense. Here's the word. Cishet. C-I-S-H-E-T. That would be heterosexual and not transgender. You can come up with all of the acronyms that you want, all of the phraseology that you can concoct, but it doesn't mask what it is. And that is why I think we can do something. We need to use biblical language to identify what these activities are and simply call a sin a sin. If you do it like a wild-eyed street preacher, and sadly there are too many of those, there are many good ones, but boy, there can be some really ugly ones on campuses. You'll just be dismissed and you'll probably not give a very good impression about Jesus Christ. Did he ever preach fire? Yeah, he did, actually. But it never sounded nasty and mean. We don't want to go down that road, but we do want to call things what they actually are. If we don't, I'm just telling you, the entire debate is lost.
Now there's people walking backwards up and down the avenue. forgot the Ten Commandments and they broke the Golden Rule. I bet Common could have helped us straighten out some things somehow. Well, I wonder what he'd say if he could see the world right now. In a common town, where up is up and down is down. The world's still spinning around and around. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Oh, the list goes on and on, but I think it's time I end the song. Common sense is all we know.
Well, we used to know that, but not so much anymore. Did you, by the way, attend the funeral of Common Sense? I think it actually happened in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken, when we laid Common Sense to rest. We can help the world. The evidence is a mountain. Semantics is the tactic. Word gaming. And coming, they're doing this with mutilating children. They're doing this with mutilating babies in the womb, and they're doing it with sexual issues. And if we want to have any sort of an impact, and we do, then let's use biblical language and enter into the conversation without feeling ashamed that we're calling sin, sin. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and listen on a daily basis. And look, things are changing around here. You've heard us talking about it, and it's going to be a reality very soon. Later this year, 8 powerful voices joining this ministry. Men like Tim Challies, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Krotz, and others. They will be joining this ministry, creating content, writing articles, making videos, creating resources and podcasts. This is going to be something like you've never seen before, and we need your help in order to make this a possibility. Log on to our website at wretched.org/fellows to get all of the information on how you can join us in our current $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you're able to give to this new effort will be matched and doubled. We need your partnership in order to make this happen. Wretched.org/fellows is where you get the details. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is gospel. The Gospels are 4 complementary narrative accounts of the same story from a different perspective, with a different emphasis. God delivers his timeless truth through a multitude of witnesses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got some good news for you. This is Wretched Radio. You, of course, know. Our dear beloved brother, Phil Johnson of Grace to You, recently went in for shoulder surgery, and this is such a common side effect. Get the shoulder dealt with and his kidney shut down. What in the world? That is like a medical mystery. I'm sure there's some explanation for it, but what? Your shoulder's up here, your kidney's down there. What do the two have to do with one another? I have no idea, but that was the side effect from his shoulder surgery. His kidneys ceased functioning, had to go on kidney dialysis, the port, the whole shebang. Good news, they sent him home hopeful that his kidneys were actually going to start functioning again. How amazing is the human body? Good news, they're working. That is huge. He had three kidneyologists. I believe that is the medical term for the doctors who take care of kidneys. Two of them said, we don't think it's coming back. One said, we do think that they're, or I do think that they're coming back. And it did. Praise God for that. It has to do with creatine, which I thought was what bodybuilders took to look more like Stephen Furtick. But apparently it has something to do with your kidneys. His level was 17. It came down to 7. Now it's down to 3. It's not quite as low as they wanted. But the good news is, kidneys are functioning. We're hoping that the port is going to be coming out soon. Not all perfect news. I wouldn't say it's bad news, but they do have some other levels that are related to his kidneys, like blood sugar, that does need to be dealt with. But good news. God brought Phil's kidneys back to life. Why do I emphasize God's hand in this? Because I think we have a tendency to forget that God is the one who does the healing, even when medicine is involved, even when doctors are involved. He's the one who does the healing. He uses medicine. The Puritans understood this, that God no longer does, he does, but these are not gifts that people have. Believe me, he does heal instantaneously. You've heard those stories where the doctors are just totally mystified. He does that, but the Puritans would say his normative practice is longer healing, extended healing, and he works through medicinal means. And that is a blessing. That's why we should praise God for medicine, but we should praise God for medicine. We shouldn't be grateful to the medicine. We should be grateful to the God who gives us the medicine and works through it in order to heal us. And so it is. We praise God for what he is doing with Phil Johnson's kidneys. But keep praying. Not totally done with the side effects of shoulder surgery. Honestly. It's like, well, I had a broken finger and my left knee stopped working after they strained it. What? Mystery, nevertheless. Good news on the Phil Johnson front. More demonstrations of deconstruction. We're seeing that all throughout our society. The mechanism that is so often employed to accomplish that goal is wordsmithing, word gaming, semantics. But the idea behind all of it is to deconstruct what we once considered to be commonsensical normativity. This is basically how it works around here. We called it common sense. You can call it natural law if you want to. We always need to remember, though, if we are going to make the case for morality, it always must be substantiated in the foundation of God, that he says this is right, this is wrong. But CRT, having been introduced long ago into the university system, it is bearing fruit everywhere. We used to think this was bad. Oh, no. We're going to deconstruct that so it's now good. Case in point from Time.com. Now, that would be Time Magazine. By the way, Jimmy, there was the 100 most important people on the planet.
Taylor Swift. Number one.
She was not number one.
I'm asking.
That she's on the list at all. Is a mystery. That's the best? Really?
She's important.
I know she's popular, which, look, some of that stuff is preference. I get that. I've just never gotten it myself. But that's what an important person is. That's a new set of credit. The most important people used to be obscure individuals who had deep thoughts, who came up with big ideas. They actually made some discoveries. That somebody who affected global events, that's an important person. Taylor Swift? Jimmy, I'm just curious. What is your favorite Taylor Swift song? Go ahead.
Tim McGraw. That's the first one I think she came out with. That's all I can remember.
Is that? Oh, I thought you just got confused.
No, way back when she was a country artist.
She had a song called Tim McGraw.
Yes, yes.
All righty. I thought maybe something happened, like you had some sort of synapse. What does a Tim McGraw have to do with a Taylor Swift? Time.com. Here's the headline. The perks of being a sociopath. the perks of being a sociopath. It's good. Don't you get it? There's a clinical practice. It was day one of clinical practicum, writes the author, a graduate level psychology course. We were introduced to the concept of transference, the inevitable unconscious process of patients redirecting their feelings onto their therapist. That was day one. Negative transference was something that evidently contributed to a great deal of clinical burnout, as many therapists have a difficult time separating themselves from the emotions layered upon them by those they're counseling. As a sociopath, that's the individual who's writing the article, as a sociopath, these feelings come easily to me than inherent emotions like joy and sadness. Dealing with this has certainly been a challenge, but I've also come to believe that some atypical traits of my personality type can be beneficial. Now, there's some things that he says. It's like, oh, I get that. I see that. If, for instance, you aren't affected by insults or bad news, you don't carry around other people's burdens, that as a therapist, that could be helpful. Well, I get that. I don't actually agree with it, because we are supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those. We are to feel it. But I get his point, but that isn't the intention, in my estimation, of the article. It is to make something that we used to say, no, it's not good to be a sociopath. We need to get to work on that. We need to deal with it and address it. No, we need to deconstruct any sort of negative attitudes towards sociopathy and turn it into something that's good. There is nothing, writes the author, inherently immoral about having limited access to emotion. Well, that's true, but that doesn't mean it's a benefit. We are emotive beings. We just need to moderate them, and they need to be informed rightly. Millions of people spend billions every year to free their mind and elevate their consciousness through meditation or prayer, with the goal that is, for me at least, my default state. Because it's not what we feel or don't feel, it's what we do. Well, actually, it is what we feel, because feelings don't come from nowhere. And speaking of meditation and your brain and emotions, Mrs. Friel and I were out for a walk. We like to do that a lot. Got to get the steps in, you know. And we saw a number of women with their rolled up yoga mats, and they got their flip flops on. They're going into the yoga studio. And just a stream of them heading in. And Mrs. Friel said, is it possible that we are seeing some of the fruit of yoga, which is this inward focus? Christianity is an outward focus. Yeah, we work on ourselves so that what? We can love the Lord our God with all our mind, heart, soul, strength, love our neighbor as ourselves. What's yoga? Me, getting inside of me. Not thinking outwardly, thinking inwardly, emptying your brain, which opens up a door to all kinds of potential spiritual activity, and none of it good. Is that maybe why we are seeing some of the statistics of anxiety, depression, anger that so many are experiencing these days because of the yoga? Toronto Star, this is from Not the Bee. Toronto Star publishes an article explaining why never owning a home is a good thing. What is that? It's an effort to take something good, owning something that's biblical, that you can own things, property rights. They're basically enshrined in the Ten Commandments. You shouldn't covet your neighbor's stuff that he owns. The Toronto Star, that housing prices up there are crazy. In order to enter the housing market, you need to earn at least $215,000. Zoinks, Scoob. But this article basically goes on to state, look, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. We're going to show you, it's total nonsense. We're going to show you, hey, there's geographic flexibility in being a renter. In other words, you can move around more. Geographic flex. Oh, it's such a good, once again, semantics. But at the core of this is deconstruction. And the best response of the Christian, two words, says who. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.